Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our 10 o'clock service this morning. Particular welcome to those who are here and to those who are watching from home online as well. You are really welcome to be joining us wherever you are watching from. I'm going to just give a few notices as we begin. And the first one is to say next Sunday is the start of Advent. Christmas is not far away, is it? So we're going to start that next Sunday by having a special Advent Deeper service up here in the evening, instead of the six down at St Andrews. We haven't had that for a while, and we're particularly going to be thinking about the theme of waiting, what it means to wait at this time. And it's something that God's really been stirring in us as a leadership at the moment in the last few weeks. And look out this week for an extra special mailing that's going to come out, which is going to talk about a particular time of waiting prayer that we're going to have during Advent, where there's going to be a whole range of different times and ways to pray each day in Advent as we wait on God and we just come to Him and just invite Him to do what He wants to do and to guide us in this Advent season. So I really encourage you to come along to Deeper, where we'll be talking more about that next week, but also come along and join us to pray as well. The following Saturday the 3rd of December, there's going to be an Advent quiet morning, again an opportunity to come and just be with God for the morning. Paul Hunt is going to be leading that, and that's going to be down at St Andrews, 9:30 to 1, details of that on the mailing. But do come along to that and put that in your diaries. And Christmas services have been on the mailing this week, just to say they're the services that are happening at All Saints this Christmas, and St Andrews too. But that's all there on the mailing. If you're watching from home and are new to us and don't get our mailing where we have all the information, then if you click that button on the website, then you can give us your details and we will get you sent the mailing each week so that you can find out what's going on and join in with us on that. We're going to be finishing our series, our mini-series in the Psalms today. And today's psalm is going to be Psalm 30, and we've entitled it Joy in Thankful Times. But as you'll see in this psalm when we read it, actually, this psalm is full of contrasting emotions. It talks about being in the depths of despair, and it talks about joyful praising. It talks about just, God, why are you so far off? Why are you distant? Where are you? And it talks, finishes up with someone just talking about how God's been amazing to them and how they know God's presence. It talks about weeping and wailing. And it talks about rejoicing. And it just reminds us that actually, you know, between us, we come with a whole range of emotions today. Some of us will be rejoicing at what God is doing and what God has done. Some of us will be weeping and feeling God really distant. That's the reality of this journey of faith. But the great news is, the great news that this psalm declares is that whatever we're feeling, that God is there and that God can bring joy and that He longs to meet us and He invites us to come just as we are. So we're going to start by just saying these words together, which just say some of that. That invitation to come as you are this morning. To open your hearts to what God wants to do in you. And just come and rest in His presence. Sing praises to God, O faithful ones. Give thanks and proclaim God's holy name. Weeping or joyful, mourning or dancing, come as you are. For all are welcome here. Open your hearts to healing, to life restored. Let us worship God. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we come opening our hearts to you. We thank you that however we come, you are here and you long to meet us. That you are worthy of praise. That you are a mighty God. That you restore the broken. That you heal the hurting. That you give joy to the downcast. And we praise you that you are a mighty God. Come and lead us in worship of you this morning, we pray. Amen. It's lovely to invite you to stand, and we're going to just have a couple of songs and then interspersed with an affirmation of faith to just bring praise to God for who he is as we begin our service. Let's stand and sing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And as we come to proclaim how great God is, let's say these words of affirmation of faith. Glory to the Father, the God of love who created us, who continually preserves and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love, and given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Blessed be God forever. Glory to Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor, and was tested in every way as we are, yet without sin, who proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, who was raised from the dead and is alive forever, and has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him, who is seated at God's right hand in glory and will come to be our judge. Blessed be God forever. And glory to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God and made members of the body of Christ, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us, who will do for us more than we can ask or imagine. Blessed be God forever. And so let's come as people of the risen King and give our praises once again to him.
Thank you.
Do take a seat, and as we've praised our God, we come to recognise that we haven't always lived God's way. And I just invite you in the quiet of your own hearts to just think back on this last week and come and particularly confess anything that you need to confess to God today. And ask for his power by his Spirit to help you live differently. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to have our Bible reading now, and I meant to put the Bibles out. If you want to grab a Bible, then perhaps someone might wave some Bibles at the back, but because I think it'll be helpful to have this psalm out for when Mark comes and speaks to us. But Keith is going to come and read.
Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, O Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead, the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will praise you forever. This is the word of the Lord.
We've got a new face here today. Some of you may not know Mark and his wife Sarah there. Mark is our latest retired clergy to come and join the team, which is great. We keep collecting them, getting a bit greedy now. Mark, just why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and where you've come from?
Yeah, sure.
Then we'll pray for you.
I can't tell you how good it is to be with you this morning. And for my wife and I to come to Malvern and to share the life of this church family and the one at St. Andrews. We've just loved the whole process we've been through of moving to Malvern last year and now getting to know people here. It's taking us a while to get to know people. Sarah's been an amazing teacher at a school in St. Albans, and I've been in St. Albans too as a vicar for a while. Quite a long time, actually. But it's just a real joy to come and be part of this fellowship and to share with you and to share in all you do here. Real pleasure.
Great. Do chat to Mark and Sarah afterwards and find out more. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing Mark and Sarah here. Thank you for just the words that Mark has prepared now. And we just pray that you would open our hearts, that you would anoint these words, that you would speak to us and just give us a bigger picture of who you are and meet with us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I don't need it. Well, it is a real pleasure to be with you this morning. And I just realise I hardly know any of you, and you're probably wondering, well, who is this chap here? Well, I guess only in time will you get to know Sarah and I, but for us, it's a pleasure. I've actually been here three times, the first time 12 years ago, the last time 2 weeks ago. But it is a joy to meet with you. And this morning, so we'll turn to Psalm 30, and if you have a Bible and want to turn to it, do. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us as I speak. It is just sort of just such a delight to be here in Malvern and getting to know you and the community in this area. Which makes me ask, as I share with you this morning, I wonder what sort of journey of life you have taken. It may be a journey of all sorts, and every one of your journeys and mine and Sarah's will be unique and different. I wonder what it's been like for you, and whether it's a journey that you continue to look back on and remember, or whether it's a journey that at times you've preferred to forget. I wonder what your journey today is like. Where are you now? Are you in a good place? Or are you in a difficult place, an easy place, or a sad place? I just wonder with you. I sense that I'm in the midst of a wonderful community of people here this morning. It's a delight. And thinking and holding my mind the sorts of voyages you might have had makes me wonder about Psalm 30 and how the journey that David had that brought him to the words of Psalm 30. Some of our journeys can be very challenging, very tough. And Psalm 30 is about David's journey, and they have been tough times at times indeed. So we begin with verses 1 to 3, which I would just entitle Deliverance from Disaster, because David begins his psalm very personally. he says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. David had begun as a shepherd. He was the youngest of his eight brothers. His father was Jesse. He was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. You may have heard of their names. And his old brothers of David were very jealous of him. And yet, he, the youngest, became a great king. A king that I'm sure you've heard of, because King David is one of the greatest kings of the Old Testament times. He had some very tough times indeed. His friendship with King Saul very quickly turned to hostility. David found himself often being pursued by King Saul. And yet, he was very magnanimous in how he related to Saul and aimed several times, as it were, to avoid being killed by Saul and to care for Saul in Saul's increasing madness. On Saul's death, David became king of Hebron and the people of Judah, and then, after a few years, became king over all Israel and its 12 tribes. David faced many troubles, nightmares, struggles. And as we read this psalm, they're now all behind him. And in this psalm, he's beginning to express his feelings of celebration, as the psalm seems to be. Again, I will exalt you, O Lord. You lifted me out of the depths. I called you for help and you healed me. David sees himself being rescued from the grave. The Lord has brought back to a good place indeed, however bad it's been before. So it makes me wonder with you, have you had experiences like that? Times where maybe now is okay for you. I will confess that Sarah and I feel in a good place at the moment, which is lovely. To be in a good place is a great place to be, but so many times through our lives we go through times that can be really tough, demanding, even bring us to really dark places. I wonder what memories you carry of times like that. Maybe you just want to forget about them, I'd understand that. Maybe you just want to put past difficulties behind you. But sometimes, of course, our past difficulties actually shape the way we are today. Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Makes me think of one of my dark moments. Parish life had been going well, but a member of the congregation, I'll call her Jane, seemed to be making life pretty hard for me. I found myself being criticised by her, not directly much, but through other people. And criticism kept coming my way. And I began to feel that I was being under attack. Just over time, it got worse and worse. And despite attempts to resolve it, nothing seemed to work. It was felt like a disaster was about to hit me. Well, it came to a head. And I had a major PCC meeting, particularly to address the issues of this person with my PCC. Would the PCC be with me or against me? It was a scary moment. I give thanks for the wisdom of that PCC and the prayerful preparation that brought me to what had been such a dark place in relation to that person, actually brought me to the light. And I found myself in a good place with my PCC, indeed with my church, and that one person soon found themselves having to leave the church. I didn't send them away, but they, in their deviousness as I saw it, could no longer manage to stay. It was a tough time for me to live through that, and so sad that such a person, I couldn't cope. They couldn't cope with me, I mean. I don't know what you think of that, but that was a personal experience that really influenced how I sought to live out my relationship with God, a God who cares so amazingly for me. It's the Lord who's been my help, the one who loves me, has given me his grace and renewed my life through hard times. If that's your experience, Maybe you are living in such times now. Times of struggle and feeling lost and losing your way. If you're here in church, then at least you are sharing, as it were, something of yourself with me about being in God's presence. And if you're listening online or watching online, I'm wondering how it is for you. It can be hard, can it not? And yet, knowing the Lord has been with us is really precious. You may have lost your footing, so to speak, but the Lord has caught you and held you by the hand and kept you from total disaster. That was David's story. The Lord had helped David and healed him. And for us, a steadfast faith and daily trust in the Lord can be a key to being able to survive. Verses 4 and 5, David urges his people to honour God. That's what I like about this psalm. Look at verses 4 and 5. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts for a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I don't know if that's just a picture of reality or an image of how sometimes the night can be very long for some of us. It can be many months or even years. But if the morning comes, isn't that a good place to be? And if any of you are at this time still in a place of night, of darkness, of weeping and struggling and difficulty, then I just offer my thoughts and my prayers, because it's a tough place to be. But David speaks of the morning coming. There's a time where we come to a better place and we can rejoice. Is this how you know God? Is this how you understand the God who nevertheless loves you? We can feel there's no escape when we're in those dark times, but when morning does come, we can look back and find relief from that darkness, and life becomes something we can live with again, with a sense of peace and, I hope, joy because of our walk with the Lord. That may not always be our experience, but I hope that it is. Verses 6 to 10, here we see David standing secure in God, at least for some of the time. He says, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Well, I wonder sometimes is we often think that it is all on God, that he has hidden from us. So what are we to do? It's not our fault that God has hidden, is it? But there are times when, whether it is God is hidden from us or we have hidden from God, we can feel, what am I going to do? How do I stay safe? How do I keep my faith in such struggles? But David knew in his experience that morning had come. The worst of times had passed. He'd almost been killed. He'd been through such fights and such suffering. But he was now in a good place. He was a king who is now coming back to Jerusalem. He was wanting to celebrate entering his palace or coming back to the temple and bringing life back there. We're never quite sure which from Scripture. When morning comes, we can look back with relief. When we stand firm in God, then even when things are falling about us, if we walk with God, that gives us such strength. I wonder, what is the one word that describes your walk with God? Is it love? Is it goodness? Is it justice? For me, it's that extraordinary word, grace. Do you know God's grace? Is God's grace what you have found in your life, in your walk with God, in your faith, however strong or weak? Grace is so undeserved, but what we received from a God whose love for us is immeasurable. There's much more that we could say about the psalm, but to focus for a moment on verses 11 and 12. Celebrating deliverance. I love the words of verse 11, where David says, speaking to the Lord at this moment, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." You see, it was God's grace that brought David back to that better place. Of all the battles he'd been in, the enemies who had assaulted him, actually it was knowing his walk with the Lord who poured out his favour on David. David had only to trust him. He could do nothing else. It was God's grace, ultimately, that held him. The Lord turned, indeed transformed, David's wailing into joyous, thankful celebration of deliverance. David had no qualms about dancing, clothed, or semi-naked. That's what he did because he knew God's amazing grace. Such was David's joy when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, a moment of sheer delight and utter joy. Surely God's eye was very much on David throughout his life and especially throughout his reign. David's joy overflowed into dance. There was nothing that would stop him, just expressing his just love of God, his delight, the grace that God had poured upon him. As he went into Jerusalem, as he celebrated at the temple, if it was the temple or his palace, either way, David knew the joy of walking with the Lord. Times of sorrow and struggle were now past. Verse 11, "You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." What a beautiful image of God's loving hand upon him, filling him with a sense of joy, despite all that, indeed, because of all before. Now, the Lord had brought him to a good place, filling him with adulation, love of God, praise for the Lord. All these good things that now David could celebrate. Makes me wonder, when you have been in tough times and come to a better place, and I'm hoping that that's true for some of you, if not all, today, how do you now look to God? How do you now respond in your heart for a God whose favour was so evidently upon David and surely is also upon us? What place has there been and what is there today for you to celebrate in your life? As I think you're beginning to discover, Sarah and I retired from parish ministry a year ago. It's been a lovely year since then of just sort of finding our new life, relaxing a little and enjoying ourselves. After many ups and downs of parish life, of good times and challenging times, my testimony of those last days in parish ministry was one of joy. It was a lovely celebration of God in our lives, of knowing his love and favour towards us both, indeed towards our family as well. And in our hearts we rejoice that we live in the light of God's amazing love, his extraordinary grace, and his just overflowing mercy. In our hearts we rejoice that we live in the light of God's extraordinary compassion and love towards us, his amazing grace. I urge you with me to look and see how God's favour towards us is to be treasured, celebrated every day. Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen.
I'd love to just give us a few moments to reflect. I was going to do something different, but I think I'll change what I was doing. And I'd just love to invite you into two responses. You know, if you're in a good place today, if perhaps you, like David, have come through some tough times, but actually have come through now, I just want to invite you in the quiet to just rejoice with God and to thank God and to give him praise and to look back and think, where was God in that? What's God done? And to offer your thanks and praise as David did here to God right now. And if you're in the midst of a difficult place, if you're in this place that David talks about here of being in the depths of feeling God far away, of wailing and weeping. And I just really invite you to hold on to, I think it's here, isn't it? And just dwell in this verse. You know, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Just dwell for a moment in the truth that, you know, weeping in God's big story doesn't last forever. One day everything will be restored. One day you will come through. And just in the quiet, offer yourself to God and allow God to meet you in your weeping right now. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Whether we're through or whether we're in the midst, let's proclaim that God is faithful and praise him forever. Do be seated and we continue in prayer.
After each short prayer, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and the response, if you'd like to join in, is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We thank you that your eyes and ears are upon those who trust in you, that you watch out for us, and like David in his psalm, let us praise you at all times. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship you this morning, that we can do so openly and without fear. And we ask you to bless those who praise you, yet by doing so, put themselves and their families in harm's way. We give thanks for those who lead us in your church, and ask you to bless our clergy, our retired clergy, our lay readers and their families. And we ask you to bless those who lead our children's groups, particularly Helen and those who support her. And we ask you to bless Liz and Kirsty in the church office, and Patience and Janet, our wardens. Help us all to work as one to bring joy to the world, to transform lives and help build your kingdom here in Malvern. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We have so much for which to give you thanks, that we can breathe clean air, that we have fresh water, that we have food in our stomachs, and that we don't go to sleep at night wondering if we'll be blown up in our beds. But we know that there are so many in the world for whom these things would be considered a luxury. Natural disasters such as drought can cause famine, but so often the situation is exacerbated by conflict. So we pray especially this morning for the people of Somalia and the people of Yemen, and ask that attempts by aid agencies to relieve the suffering there will be successful and not hampered by violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and an end to the Russian destruction of critical infrastructure there that targets the weak and vulnerable. We pray that Vladimir Putin will soften his heart and turn away from his murderous ways. And as we pray for Ukraine, we also pray for Terry and Hanker English and their family, for the work they're doing with the Ukrainian churches to ease the distress of the victims of the war there. We ask you to bless Terry and all those Ukrainian pastors and church members who serve with him, that you will keep them safe from harm, and that those to whom they minister will see your hand at work in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our own country and our new government as they grapple with significant economic challenges. We pray that you will grant them wisdom, discernment, and compassion in how they govern. And we ask that the voices of those Christians in Parliament will be heard as a force for good. We pray that the decisions the government make will spread the burden fairly and not let it fall disproportionately on the poor, the weak, and the vulnerable. And we pray for the people in our country who are fearful about the future, who are concerned how they will feed their families and keep warm this winter. We ask you to help us to bring joy into the lives of those who are downcast. And we pray that the simple message of love that you brought to the world will ripple out through your church and bring so much to those who feel helpless and abandoned. May we, through our actions, turn wailing into dancing and help you build your kingdom here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And if we wake up once again to news of the impact of severe weather on parts of our country, we pray for those poor folk who have been flooded out of their homes. We pray for the emergency services as they try to keep people safe, and for those who provide shelter for folk forced to leave their homes. As we see more and more evidence from around the world of the impact of climate change, we pray that world leaders will take the threat seriously and will act decisively and not just speak good words. We pray that they will realise that the actions they need to take now are for the long-term benefit of future generations, and that they will avoid making easy decisions to appease those seeking immediate selfish reward. Help us to remember that we are stewards of your world, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment. And we pray especially this morning for April and her unborn daughter. April will be having a C-section tomorrow, so we pray for the medical staff who will be treating her. Pray for April and that all will go well. Be with them, Lord. And we pray for those recovering from treatment and for any from our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley and Sheila up to you this morning. And we pray for those who are broken-hearted or have been crushed in spirit. You are close to them, but in their troubles they may find it difficult to find you in their lives. Help those who are struggling to trust that you hold them in your hands at all times and will bring comfort and peace. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us in need of your healing and love. Bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need, and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to move towards communion now, and that's another place where we can particularly encounter God in our joys or in our struggles. But first, let's just share the peace with each other, just confidently to share that actually God offers us that peace which passes all understanding. So let's stand, shall we? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. To share with one another a sign of the peace. And we come to gather around the Lord's table. We come to receive his grace afresh. That he gives us what we don't deserve. That forgiveness, that restoration with him again, that new life in him. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you us this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Do sit or kneel and let's say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. And I just encourage you to continue during communion to dwell in the silence of where we were a few minutes ago. You know, for you, today is a great day looking back of wanting to give thanks and joy to God and praise to him for what he's done. Then as you hold out your hands, just hold them out as a sign of saying, "Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me." And if you're in that tough place where God seems distant, where things are hard, where there's weeping and wailing, then as you hold out your hands, you are there just acknowledging and saying, "God, I'm here. Meet me by your grace. Strengthen me. Help me to keep going and reveal your love once more to me." And allow God to meet you and restore you and heal you and transform you. It's going to be a couple of people who will be over in the corner, back left-hand corner, who will be delighted to pray with you after you've received. Just go over there and just anything that you want to have prayer for, do go and pray with them. But allow God to meet you this morning in the bread and the wine. in this psalm. I think there's a little inkling of Jesus and the big gospel story too. Because there's a talk of going down to the pit and coming out from the pit. And actually what we remember, what has brought that ultimate joy and that ultimate assurance that weeping will only remain for a night and there will be rejoicing in the morning, is Jesus' death and his resurrection. That is that ultimate truth, that actually whatever we're facing now is not the end, but the story ends well. And the story ends with great rejoicing and everything restored. So we're going to finish by singing Thine Be the Glory. And just celebrate in the joy of, might feel a bit weird to sing this the week before Advent, but you know, this is the good news, isn't it? Thine be the glory, endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. Let's go out rejoicing, proclaiming that weeping may remain for night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. Let's stand. And Lord, we thank you for these gifts and all those who are given in other ways for your kingdom here. And we bless them to your service. Amen. Do stay for coffee, tea, biscuits after the service. Do come along and join us next week. And I just want to encourage you, as you are having coffee and tea, just a little thought. If you've got a story to share of how God has been faithful to you, then share it. Ask someone. Where's God been faithful to you over these years? Where can you rejoice? Where were you rejoicing and being thankful this morning? And just celebrate together what God has done for us. So let's say these final words together as a prayer. Fill our lives, Holy Spirit of God, with joy and love and hope. Live in us so that we can show others how much you love them. Amen. And may God the Spirit empower and transform us. May God the Son inspire us to follow him. May God the Father surround us with his love. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us now and always. Amen. To have some prayer still, then there's people who would love to pray for you. But thank you for coming and have a good week.